and welcome to What a Scream, the horror movie podcast, where I, your host, Egraine, chats about horror films with a special guest. And in particular, we talk about two films that have to do with a certain subject that I have previously randomly chosen. This month, well, this week, actually, because I don't do these monthly, I do these weeklies. We've just done a recording of
We have.
So, as you can tell, my guest this week is Ruby Noir, and we're actually in the same room as each other.
I'm back again. I still have no expertise or reason to be here, but you've asked me anyway.
I have.
And it's hashtag Dead Girl Summer. The only beach bod we want to see is a dismembered beach bod. Aw, yeah.
Dismembered and bloated.
I gave her wine as well for the second one, so we might get in trouble.
Yes, we did the super serious movies Murder and Mayhem. Well, the second half was super serious.
Yeah.
And we've moved on to the wine.
Yeah, just to recover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're here for a summer of sequels.
We are. We're doing summer sequels. The summer of sequels. The sequel to summer.
Sequels of summer.
Yeah.
Excited. Two high quality cinematic productions.
So excited. I thought I hadn't seen the Friday the 13th sequel, but I had.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you just blocked it out?
Yes.
Just out of trauma?
Absolutely. Yes. And to watch it this time, I had to subscribe to Paramount.
Yes. I bought it on YouTube for €2.99.
Okay.
Instead of subscribing to Paramount, but I'll probably eventually subscribe to Paramount.
And I need to, like, because you get a 7-day trial, so I'm just like, remember to stop the trial. And obviously my ADHD is not going to allow
me. You got to put a reminder in your calendar, that's what I do.
I will. Because I went on it, I was like, you know what, I'll keep it. Because I got rid of something else. What did I get rid of? Amazon Prime. And I was like, you know what, if it has good stuff. It's got all the Scream and it's got all the Friday the 13th, but yeah. Other than that, it's kind of like...
I mean, I do want to watch Yellow Jackets. That is supposed to be good.
I keep trying that and I just can't get past the first episode.
I'm just a Melanie Lynskey stan, so I haven't actually watched any of it yet. Okay. And it's also got... Oh, you're not a Star Trek person, are you?
No.
So it's got a lot of Star Trek on it. It's got the new one, Brave New Worlds.
Okay.
And I think it's got Discovery on it as well.
Yeah.
So that interests me greatly.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll just give it a month and see what I can watch. But we were talking before about I've got to start Hannibal.
Yes. I've been rewatching Hannibal myself and my partner because he hasn't seen any of it. So we've been rewatching it and I've been getting the giggles constantly because it's great. I want to put this out there. It is great, but it's also very silly. It also makes me very hungry. It does.
Most cannibal stuff makes me hungry.
I know, but like, so, and for those people who haven't watched Hannibal, so they shoot all of the like, Hannibal making the food, the people food.
It's food porn.
It is fully food porn. It is master chef levels. Like, it is so beautiful. And, like, you can get by the cookbook as well. And I was like, I can't remember what he was making something recently. It was something like roast thigh of beef or something. Beef. the other beef. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I want that food.
Yeah.
I want it right now. It's very, I love Hannibal. I'm very happy to be rewatching it. I was happy when it popped up back on Netflix.
I just have such a big list of things that I have to watch. So I have to watch second season of Chucky. I loved the first season.
Mm.
And I'm just that person when if there's too much of a gap between...
You forget about it.
I do.
Well, that's the ADHD brain.
I'm really worried about The Last of Us. I'm hoping there's not too much of a big gap of that.
Well, I mean, with the strikes going on, there is a good chance that it will be. I mean, if anything's going to encourage me to sign up to a brand new streaming service, it's going to be the lack of content from other stuff.
That's true.
That's all going to slow down. I'm like, well, I haven't watched this stuff yet, I guess.
Yeah, that's very true. I just have Yellow Jackets as well, Hannibal. And I'm just that terrible person that keeps going back and watch Criminal Minds and Gilmore Girls constantly.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I do the same. I'm in the middle of a Schitt's Creek rewatch for like the 800th time.
Yeah.
That's my comfort one. I mean, Hannibal is a rewatch as well. I've been reading a lot though recently. I was reading some Grady Hendrix, which was good.
I do like Grady Hendrix.
Yeah, I read Final Girl Survival Group.
I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that, so I'm going to pick up a few more of his others.
Yeah, have you read My Best Friend's Exorcism?
No.
That's his best one.
I was looking at them in the shop in Chapters in Dublin, best bookshop.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was a kind of toss up between them and I said I'd try the Final Girl. But My Best Friend's Exorcism looks really good.
Yeah, the film not so much. The book is really good.
Okay, good to know. I was like, I think the first thing I ever saw from him, and it was one of these things that's been on my list forever, was Horror Store.
Yeah.
Because I really love... the design that he puts into it. I'm not sure if he is the designer or he works with someone specific, but like they're all very, because My Best Friend's Exorcism is like a VHS, 80s VHS kind of cover.
Yeah.
And then obviously Horror Store is all like a IKEA catalogue.
Yeah. There's also, what is it, Southern Gothic Book Club?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's like vampires.
Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one. His most recent one, did I read that? I didn't really like it all that much. But yeah, he can be quite hit and miss. But I think generally, it's, you know what, it's a really easy read.
Yes.
That you can sit down and binge.
I thought it was, yeah, it was quite easy, but like meaty enough. Like you didn't feel like you were just reading trash.
Yeah.
Which I did very much enjoy.
Yeah. No, I went on like an audiobook binge for a while. And then I read a really disturbing book called Womb, which is really messed up and not for people with weak stomachs. And then I had to take a break for a bit.
That's fair.
I started trying to read a history on forensics and it was just too much for me. I was like, too many big words.
That's probably intense. I know. I just tend to like stalk our friend Kerry's Instagram and like go, what has she reviewed positively? And I will go and read that.
At Kerry Reads.
Yeah, at Kerry Reads.
Yeah.
Very good book recommendations. Yes. All excellent.
Yeah.
There was one that she recommended a while back, like last year. It was like Funland or Wonderland or something like that. It was like a World War Z, but for like staff that were stuck in an amusement park during a hurricane. And it was, I got it on audiobook and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like an oral history.
Yeah.
So that kind of style of like, it really happened kind of thing was really, really good.
I did actually recently, I got sent a book on The Exorcist that is coming out in the 25th of July, so 2 days from when we're recording this. It's called The Exorcist Legacy, 50 Years of Fear, I think it's called.
Exciting.
And, like, dog moan.
My dog stretching under the table.
And as, like, a really hardcore Exorcist fan, you'd think I'd know everything there is to know. And there's, like, so many little snippets in this book that I'm like,
oh, exciting. It's really
interesting. And the last few chapters are about actually the theology behind exorcism. It's just, it's fascinating.
That's really fun. I like that. I like that it kind of goes into...
Yeah.
Track that down. Track a copy of that down.
Or I can just lend my copy.
Or you can just lend
me. I can do that.
I love a tidbit.
Yes. But yeah, and then after Womb, I had to kind of step back from reading a bit. Reading audiobooking, because I listen to it while I'm getting Nate down to sleep. So it's like late at night. And sometimes I fall asleep listening to it and then wake up and be like...
Yeah, that shit gets into your brain.
Oh my God, it does. Like, especially because... on we talked about, I've just, for a panel, I've been watching the August Underground trilogy, and I watched that, and then I got sent a screener for Damien Rugner's new film, When Evil Lurks, and I didn't realise it was a Damien Rugner film, and I put it on thinking it was just going to be this happy possession, not happy, but like, you know, cheesy possession.
Yeah, fun possession.
And my God, it was disturbing. And
that was the one you were raving about on Twitter, though, wasn't it?
It was. And then that night, usually to help me fall asleep, I listen to true crime podcasts. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't listen to true crime podcasts and have August Underground and When Evil Lurks in my head, because I'm going to have the worst nightmare. So I put like rain sounds on, and I still had like a really terrible dream about dismemberment, which is kind of normal for me.
Fair, yeah.
Yeah. My nightmares usually consist of having to be on Tinder again.
The true horror of the modern world. Horror.
Yeah, yeah. I just couldn't quite handle it. That's been my...
So that's why the Gilmore Girls came out.
That's why the Gilmore Girls came out.
I think that's fair. Like, you need to, like, you can need to, like, give your brain a little bit of a cleanse every now and then. Just like a little horror detox.
Yeah.
Just watch some, like, cozy interpersonal relationship drama.
Yeah. With fast talking people.
Yeah. And then you can go back to...
Yeah.
Back to the horrors of your everyday life.
Of which there are many.
Indeed.
So yes, this week's theme is summer sequels. We did a summer episode last summer.
We did. And we watched Sleepaway Camp.
Talking of horrors.
Sleepaway Camp. I was very tempted to push for Sleepaway Camp 2 for this. But what's her name? The star of Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
She did not return for the second one. And I was like, nah. I refuse to watch it without her.
So Would you like to go first and introduce your film?
Yeah, we decided we're going to go in chronological. Three sips of wine. I was at a hen last night, so I'm still mostly made of Prosecco. Yes, so chronological order. We are going to start with Friday the 13th, part 2.
On a June night in 1980, Friday the 13th, 12 of her friends were murdered. Why should Friday the 13th, 1981, be any different? Friday the 13th, part 2.
Arguably the kickoff to the franchise for realsies.
Yes. For real, for real.
So, Friday the 13th Part 2 is released in 1981 and directed by Steve Miner. It's his directorial debut. It stars Amy Steele as Ginny, John Fury as Paul, Adrian King as Alice, kinda. Steve Dash and also Warrington Gillette as Jason. There was a bit of controversy around that. Also returning is Walt Gourney as Crazy Ralph. And very briefly Betsy Palmer as Pamela Voorhees, who got beheaded in the last film. So it has one of the longest cold opens of any films. It's like 15 minutes or something. So most of that cold open is taken up with flashbacks to the first film, because they just did not trust the audience to remember what the fuck happened, apparently. So it was like they flash back to the murders, they flash back to Pamela Voorhees, they flash back to her getting beheaded, and they flash back to Jason then jumping out. You know, obviously the iconic ending of Friday the 13th. Him jumping out of the thing. And then they have, Alice in her new apartment being like, "Mom, I just need to put my life back together." And then she gets murdered instantly. And we are taken away to a new, to like the same place as Camp Crystal Lake was. Not exactly the same, it's like up the road a bit. Same town, and a new bunch of nubile young camp counselors to murder.
Yeah.
And so it's fairly predictable and straightforward. We don't see Jason's face.
No.
Or even his general, like anything really above his ankles for a long time. It's a lot of shots of him just walking. various different young camp counselors get murdered in some exciting ways, including the infamous double impaling scene, which was cut from the original.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently it was too vicious or too gory. But it was also like, I heard like a direct, like basically rip off from
Bay of Blood. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, which I thought was interesting. Is it homage? Is it plagiarism?
Yeah. I'd say a bit of both.
Bit of both. And eventually we start to see Jason lumbering around. It's pre-hockey mask. He doesn't get his hockey mask until the third installment. So he's wandering around with a burlap sack on his head with like one eye, which is a reference to another film.
Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Yes. I think a direct reference. I think that was intentional. But also I read that apparently one of the designers decided they would go with that because they felt like it was something that Jason would find in the woods or have easy access to. Yeah. So it made sense as opposed to something a bit more.
Yeah.
But it's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
He's kind of creepy.
I could see how it would be creepy like then.
Yeah.
Like now. Obviously.
Oh, well now. Like, whatever.
Where's the hockey mask?
I think it's creepier than the hockey mask.
Yeah, I think the hockey mask is a bit like...
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty iconic now. But Jason slowly kind of picks off all the various different camp counselors until only one survives, Ginny, the blonde. And she has pretty good survival instincts in the great pantheon of final girls. Like, she actively, like, fights against him. She, like, nearly... doesn't quite decapitate him, but she gets that machete in there. Yeah. She comes across his shrine to his dead mother with her mummified head and her sweater. This is the only thing that I actually thought was good about this film. Spoilers, I did not like it. Because it's bad. But one of the things I did actually like was the scene where she puts on the sweater and like pretends to be Pamela Voorhees. I thought that was kind of clever.
She does that whole scene in the bar where she's sitting around with like two other camp counselors and she's talking about the psychology behind Jason.
Yeah.
And how traumatized he must have been to see his mother's death. Although, how did she know that he saw his mother? You know, there's this whole thing where they're like, she talks about him seeing his mother's death.
Yeah.
But how would she know that he would have seen that?
Yeah.
There's a few continuity things.
Oh, there is like, well, here's the thing. So, I mean, look, ultimately, Ginny survives, kind of. Mm-hmm. She gets carted off in an ambulance. It's unclear whether Paul survives. He is one of the other camp counselors. Yeah. There's one other character who survives because he goes out to a bar. So he's just not there. Moral of the story. Yeah, moral of the story, go drinking. Do not stay and have sex with your fellow camp counselors.
No.
Though I have to say, the one thing I was like, with this movie, we had about 20 minutes in, I was like, I cannot wait for all these like fucking dick head boys to die.
Yeah,
I was very annoyed by all of them constantly.
Yeah. I was disappointed in the lack of crop tops.
Serious lack of crop tops for the fellas. I mean, yeah, they really needed to take sleepaway camp notes.
Yeah, that's the only reason I will watch 80s slashers, is to see more crop tops on guys,
more boys in short shorts and crop tops.
How, like, this shouldn't be as sexually arousing for me as it is, but like, holy crap, I do love a good guy in a crop top.
I know. I mean, here, listen, like, that was like, you know how much I love Sleepaway Camp, but that was one of the best things about that movie. It was like, fuck the male gaze, the female gaze was all over that thing. It was like, let's see those abs, let's see. Just like, it was very equal opportunities, like sexy clothing. So I did feel like we do get one very gratuitous nudity scene in this film with one of the characters. Oh God, what's her name? It's not Sandra, it's one of the others. Doesn't matter. Vicky, maybe. Might have been Vicky. Susie, Sandra, Lisa, Pamela, and Rita.
Any other white Californian.
Yeah. A character who just gets naked, goes in for a swim, gets out. Someone steals her. One of the steals her. Like, there's not really any plot points to it. Yeah. One of the other guys steals her top and then promptly gets murdered for the pleasure. I mean, Jason, and then Jason, they don't find the body.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember how, because he jumps in through the window. Oh, and then it flashes straight to her in the ambulance. So you never actually see what happens, which is purposeful so they don't have to explain away how, because that was the thing about this film. So the original Friday the 13th director, Sean Cunningham, Tom Savini, and fucking Betsy Palmer, who played Mrs. Voorhees, all of them, when this was getting made, part two was getting made, was like, that's fucking stupid. Tom Savini is on record as saying, he's like, what, was Jason just wandering around eating crayfish for 30 years? How the fuck did this kid survive? This doesn't make any sense. And also, they all pointed out, I think Cunningham in particular was like, this doesn't make any sense, because if he was alive, he would have just told his mother, which would have been completely invalidated.
Yeah.
All of the events of the first motherfucking movie. And it's very clear in this film, like, none of it really makes sense. And I think they are very purposefully leaving stuff out so that they don't have to explain it in the future, because some studio executive somewhere was like, this is not going to cost a lot of money to make, and we're going to make a shit ton.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Yeah. I mean, they were really, obviously, this is when the slasher boom really kicked off.
Yes. So yeah. Like, early 80s.
We need a sequel. I didn't like this film.
You do?
No.
No, it's bad. It's a bad movie.
I'm not a fan of slashers in general. I appreciated it. Its giallo influences.
Mm.
I mean, apart from straight off ripping off Mary Barber's Bay of Blood. I do appreciate that. But it was just so, like, you know what it is? It's because we are looking back retrospectively.
Yeah.
And we've seen all of this, like, copied so many times. So looking back, we're like, ugh. Like, one thing I say a lot about, like, class, like, old horror films, I feel really bad saying old and it's like 80s.
Yeah.
Like, the other day I went to say 20 years ago, meaning the 80s. And I was like, shit.
40 years ago. I know. Let's try not to think about it too hard.
But I was thinking, like, how did the audience, like, react back then?
But you see, that's the thing. It's like, I don't think that this is, I think even for the time, this probably felt derivative.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate the, as you say, the giallo references and all that kind of stuff. Like, I do appreciate those. And I think, like, God love Minor. Like, I think, like, Cunningham left.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was just this like 24-year-old dude, and the studio was like, you make it. So I think he was just pulling from his, you know, his, yeah, like, the things that he liked and that he thought worked. And, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, from a directorial point of view, I don't think it's, like, yeah, awful. It's just the source material is the problem, yeah, here.
Yeah, definitely. There was also a bit of controversy because one of the actresses was underage and she did a full frontal nudity.
Oh, Vicky was underage. I did not come across that particular...
Whoever Marta Cobra played, it might have been cut, actually, her full frontal nudity.
Cobra. Oh, she was Sandra. She's, yes, barely in it.
Yeah. She was meant to be a lot more in it.
Oh, she was the one with the ugly knickers. Okay, so no, legit though, she goes off. She's going to have...
She in the brown ones.
Yeah. Yes. She's like, I'm going to get the ride with this hottie.
Yeah, he was hot.
He was hot. He was the only boy I didn't completely, yeah, hate. All the rest of you should die. And he was hot, and she was, yeah, like, I'm gonna get the ride. She's like, come back, I'll yeah, be back in 5 minutes. I'm just gonna get, yeah, myself nice and sexy for you. And she goes in and she picks up her like sexy silky knickers, yeah, and they are shit brown and ill-fitting. I was like, in what world?
Like, even back in the 80s,
even back in the early 80s, like, no. And then she's just wandering around in her knickers for ages, like, just looking in the car for stuff. And I was like, even Jason was like, no, those are ugly. You're going to have to put trousers back on, please, before I murder you.
I do not want to be looking at your underwear. Yeah, I just feel that, like, what underwear did she go from to decide that those brown pair of underwear?
You do see them, and they're just, like plain cotton pants. They're, like, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're not the sexiest things in the world, but honestly, I think, you know, most people are sexy in pants, so... Like, that's fine. I think she looked great. And then I was like, oh no, she was underage. Oh God, I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, she lied about her age. Apparently she was 16.
She pulled a Cheryl.
She did.
Or not Cheryl.
Nadine.
Yeah. Where's the passport, Nadine?
Where's your passport, Marta? Yeah, another thing that I found quite funny when I was reading up about Friday the 13th is originally they wanted the sequel to Friday the 13th to be an anthology. So they didn't want it to be related to the original Friday the 13th, but it was because of the...
It's because of Halloween.
No, it was... I mean, obviously, that was a very Halloween thing, but it was because the ending of the first film was really successful that they, yeah, were like, no, we have to carry it on now with Jason.
Right, I get you. Yeah, no, yeah. I get the impetus for it, but, yeah, like, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd like, you know, for them to carry it on with Jason, he's like, yeah, as all the half the original people pointed out, yeah, it was like, it makes no sense that he's still, yeah, alive. Yeah, the ending was iconic. But that was, like, that was very much a shock thing, and you're very, yeah, unsure. Like, yeah, that's very unreliable narrator. Like, did, yeah, that really happen? Did it not?
Yeah.
You know? And that's what was great about it.
Mm.
But yeah, it just made absolutely no sense. An anthology would have been interesting, but that's, yeah, directly what John Carpenter did, because, yeah, we watched Halloween
3,
was it?
Yeah, yeah, we did. Yeah, they wanted to explore, like, the lore behind Friday the 13th, you know, the day, yeah, Friday the 13th, which you are getting married on.
I am getting married on Friday the 13th. Name a spookier day, I dare you. You had a full-on Halloween wedding, though.
I did, yeah. I'm not going to show up in a hockey mask.
Very good. I mean,
it would be very on brand.
It would be very on brand. I would get on with it. Okay.
Yeah, you would get on with it. I'm not sure your groom or your family. Or...
I think Jonathan would be fine. I think the family would be confused. Don't show up in a hockey mask. Show up in a like fucking pillowcase. One eye. I'll cut out.
A burlap pillow.
Yeah, and a machete. It'd be grand.
Yeah. I'll put up with the skin rash for it.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just not a very good film. It's not well put together. It's not coherent. And I think that's kind of the biggest issue. I think it's interesting, like Adrian King, who played Alice, mm-hmm, is like obviously one of the returning actors from the first, mm-hmm, one. Like, she apparently, so there's a couple of different stories around, mm-hmm, why she was killed off very early in the film. So she's killed off in the opening sequence. Yeah. which also apparently they did not check the prop ice pick, and she got injured. She was like, yeah, it was supposed to retract and they hadn't bought it, and she was like this lazy fucking prop person, like just didn't check anything. But so there's two things that was happening. One of them was like she was subject to stalking after the first one, and she didn't, so one story is that she didn't want to have a big role because she didn't want to encourage any further fan interaction. She hasn't really acted on screen since. She's done voice roles, but she hasn't done any other acting, on screen acting. And then the other thing apparently was she asked for too much money. In the studio were like, no, fuck off.
Because how dare actors ask for money?
How very dare they?
Yeah, I mean, I like, we look back and we're like, this isn't a good film. But I guess at the time they were like, just how much blood and gore can we get into this?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be coherent. And I guess that's when they went back in the later films and were like, he's a supernatural entity who can't die and goes to New York and hell and space.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I get that. I mean, you get the same thing with the Halloween movies and, like, Michael Myers. Like, you know, it's all this, like, the thing just coming at you constantly, the shape, so, like, I get that, and it's very much a, you know, a trope of the time, I guess. But, like, I don't think this was good even at the time. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what sort of, like, it didn't pull as much as high a box office as the first one, for sure. It received generally negative reviews, apparently. let me see. I did take a look. I was looking at the other film that we're going to watch. So this has an approval rating of 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. The second film that we're going to talk about has an approval rating of 7.
No. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay.
It's also bad.
Yeah.
It is not great, but do I like it more than this? I think so. Actually, I don't know. I'm gonna have to have a good long think about that. Which one do I hate more? That's really the question. It's not which one do I like more, it's which one do I hate more.
So I take it you wouldn't recommend this to horror fans.
No, go watch the original. I mean, and like, and the weird thing is like the original, they have said that they were trying to rip off Halloween when they made the first one, but they did it well. So it's fine, but then this one is like a rip-off of a rip-off, and it's just not good.
Yeah, it's not very, like, you know, sometimes when you're like, okay, this film's shit, but it's part of a franchise, so you have to kind of watch it. You could almost get away with just not watching it.
Oh, you absolutely could. Mm. Because, like, then in 3, it kind of turns into, like...
Tom Savini comes back as well.
Yeah, Tom Savini comes back, and... Yeah, like, honestly, even the first one, like, you can almost, like, you can just start at 3. Like, if you're a Jason stan, then just start at 3. Because, obviously, he's not in the first one. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, where people in pub quizzes across the world occasionally forget that Jason Voorhees is not the bad guy in the first one.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend it either. Like, I just think it's quite a ephemeral, throwaway kind of...
Yeah, it's very forgettable. I don't think it's gonna, like... You talk about, like, when we did it last year and we did... Like Sleepaway Camp. Like Sleepaway Camp will stay with me forever.
Yeah. Forever. I am still haunted by that final scene.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And bees. Murder by bees. Genius. Like, I will stand by, I like, you know, I'm confused, but I really enjoyed that film. Whereas this, I just didn't even, like, I was, you know, I was, like, really fighting the urge to, like, play on my phone or, like, you know, I was, like, trying to concentrate on this thing. And I was finding it very difficult.
Yeah. In general, just more crop tops, more
more crop tops for the boys will give us a bit more engagement with the properties.
Exactly. Okay, let's move on to the next one then, which, like you said, is just as bad. But I have this really nice memory. Well, not nice. I have a memory. I have a single memory of watching this film. It was on like UTV. But so I come from a poor family and I was given this small TV that screen was like the size of like...
I remember those. They were like these little like pocket, like they had a handle on top of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the screen was like square shaped, like probably just a little bit bigger than like the face of a Rubik's Cube. And it had an aerial. And because I lived out in the middle of nowhere in Mayo, the reception was absolutely shite. So I remember trying to watch... I Still Know What You Did Last Summer on this tiny film, on this tiny TV, and I'd have to keep picking the TV up and move around the room to get reception. So I watched it like that. So that's my memory of watching I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Yeah.
Mine is, like, so when this came out, I was, like, 11 or 12. Mm. So I was, like, really getting into horror at this point in my life. And I think we managed to rent this out on VHS for my birthday 1 year. Around that time, and it was, like, just out. And I had this weird thing when we were watching this, like, the whole thing where they the radio show and the answer to, like, the scenes, you know, and I was like, oh, this is how I know what the capital of Brazil is. It was like this weird sense memory just flooded back, and I was like, I remember, like, that one bit in particular. I couldn't really remember much else because, let's face it, it's very forgettable. With that one bit, I was like, this is how I learned what the capital of Brazil was. I'll never forget now. I was like, that's a weird memory to have. Okay, moving on.
And they say horror films don't teach you anything.
Yeah, we probably name said horror film. Can you guess from from what we just talked about?
So yeah, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. It's a 1998 slasher film directed by Danny Cannon and written by Trey Calloway.
The morning for Magic 96.7 Radio.
Oh my god!
Yes. Just one magic.
Yes.
All right, quickie,
get away. After what happened last summer,
we are going to the Bahamas.
Nobody deserves a vacation more than Julie James.
We have arrived in paradise.
And here, miles from civilization.
So a great weekend.
Yeah, to a great weekend. For
she's finally gotten away from it all.
I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made Julie the key. If I'd have known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me.
Don't have a lyric. Hold on.
He did something to the screen. I said,
what are you talking about?
But she can never escape her past.
It's happening again.
What?
Because there are some secrets.
There was a body in there.
Cool.
I am not going crazy. He's here.
Who is here?
And there are some fears.
Hey, Julie, you seen any dead bodies out there?
2 summers ago, we hit Ben Willis with our car, and then we threw his body in the water.
Can you not tell me the whole story? I'm your best friend.
That will haunt her forever.
I want off this island.
And it, let me just get the plot up, as if I can't remember it. So it is the sequel to...
Any of those?
No.
Okay.
Well, not at the moment. It is the sequel to I Know What You Did Last Summer. And it stars Jennifer Love Hewitt, Freddie Prinze Jr., Brandy, Mekhi Phifer, and Jack Black.
Uncredited.
Is he not credited?
He's not credited. Uncredited Jack Black in basically the only interesting performance in the entire film.
Interesting, yet controversial. So it takes place 1 year after the original film. And, you know, Helen, played by Jennifer Love Hewitt, all her friends have been murdered by the fisherman Ben Willis. She, just like when Scream did their sequel, it is set in college.
Julie. Helen is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes. See, they're all interchangeable.
They are all interchangeable.
Julie is in college and her friend wins a radio competition to name the capital of Brazil, at which she gives the answer as Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah. Also, I particularly love that scene because so Jennifer Love Hewitt is giving out to Brandy for calling people on her phone because she's a good final girl and she got she got all the locks, she got bars on her windows.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed that scene when you're like walking through her apartment because you can see that she's like world traumatized.
Yeah.
I was like, this bitch, she knows. She's like, no one jumping through these windows. And so she's like, so Brandy is talking to Mekhi Phifer on the phone and Jennifer Love Hewitt's like, my number is unlisted. And instantly the phone rings and it's the radio guy. You're like, you've just said your number's unlisted. This is not possible.
So they win a trip to the Bahamas for four. And Julie invites Ray, Freddie Prinze Jr., but he's all like, I'm a fisherman.
He's all like, come back to the place of your horrible trauma. Yeah. I don't understand why you won't come back because you love me. And she's like, but it's where I nearly got murdered several times. And he's like, yeah, but that's where I am. And then she's like, yeah, bye.
So they get to the Bahamas and they settle into this resort who, even though it's like the middle of July.
Oh, it's off season.
It's off season.
Yeah, it's hurricane season, apparently.
I mean, grand. Okay, fair enough. At which point I want to say that the hotel manager is played by...
oh, one of my faves.
What's his name? Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs.
Who makes this film. He was my favourite bit about this film.
He's my favourite. Any film that he is in, yeah. I love. Like, yeah. I'm a big Frighteners stan. Yeah. Like that bit where every now and then myself, where something, if like we get a paper cut in this house, yeah. one of us will look at the other and go, my body is a roadmap of pain. Like, we're those people. So like, I'm a, yeah. And like, obviously like Reanimator and stuff, like just, yes. Give me Jeffrey yeah. Combs all the time.
Yeah.
He's so good.
So, Judy goes there with Brandy's character, Carla, as well as Mekhi Phifer's character, Tyrell. And one of my favorite bits about this film is their fourth friend.
Their fourth friend, Golf Dad.
Well, yes. But the fact that his name is... wait. Is Will
Benson. Will is Benson. Galaxy brain.
As if they couldn't, like, as soon as, like, his name, Will Benson, I was like, he's Benson.
I know, but look, the thing is, right, so I wasn't paying attention to his name because I wasn't really paying attention to this film, but
he's
we were watching
dull character, like.
He's very dull. Mm. But we were watching it and I was like, what cool happening 20-something-year-old college students wears polo necks and beige slacks. That is a serial killer being like, this is what a normal man wears. I was like, who is this fucking middle-aged dad in the middle of college? And I was like, that he's definitely, because I couldn't remember anything about this film.
Same.
Didn't even notice his name. I was like, he did it. He's the killer. No one dresses that way. Not a pair of jeans, not a pair of like fun board shorts. It's just all like, he gets into the fucking jacuzzi in slacks, I'm pretty sure.
He has slack board.
Just beige slack all the time. Pumps. It's, and it's like that thing of like, you know, it's like, he's like, to make sure no one, you know, I don't draw attention to myself and get caught, I'm just going to wear beige all the time and people's eyes will just slip off me. And like, Brandy's like, yeah, but he's so hot, girl. And you're like, no.
Yeah, literally.
No, no, no. Especially not when there's Mekhi Phifer and Freddie Prinze Jr. around. And like, yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr. is not my type, but objectively a handsome gentleman. Yes. And I love Mekhi Phifer. I have a big crush on him back in the day.
Yeah.
Such a baby face in this as well. He's gorgy. I mean, this character's a dick and I was very happy when he got hooked. But
so yeah, people start ending up dead, which starts off with the staff. Like, let's talk about early, what, late 90s racism.
Oh god, yeah. It's just like all the black people and the fucking white guy with the dreads is what.
So yes, Jack Black's character is a wannabe Rasta.
Yeah, like, I don't think that it's a good character, but I do think it's a good performance because he's very annoying and like purposefully so. It's like very like, this is a bad person.
See, I was trying to be like, were they fully aware to be like, we're going to do this ridiculous white person character?
I think Jack Black was fully aware. I'm not sure the film was, but I think Jack Black knew what he was doing. Probably why he's uncredited.
Yeah, he was like, please don't put my name to this.
He's also very baby-faced.
Oh, I know.
And like, I love Jack Black. I'm a big Jack. He's done some terrible work in his time, but I like him as a human.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the kind of person that I wouldn't be able to be around for longer than 5 minutes because I feel like a hyperactive.
For sure. But he seems like, everything that I've ever heard about him and seen of him, he seems like a genuinely like nice person. And I enjoy his music. And I enjoy some of his films. Look, High Fidelity, Jack Black, just great. But I mean, you know, we won't talk about
Shallow Hal.
Is that a great fat acceptance author called Lindy West? She has a newsletter called Butt News, and occasionally she'll do like movie reviews and stuff. And she did one about Shallow Hal recently, and it was very funny. I mean, obviously, it was just like, this is just terrible, but
So yes, all these people end up dead, and it turns. In the meantime, Freddie Prinze Jr. has decided that he does want to go to the Bahamas, but then on his way to the Bahamas, he gets him and his friend get tricked into pulling over on the side of the road because someone looks dead, and his friend gets murdered, and he gets.
I know, it was a mannequin. Oh no!
So he has decided to charter a boat and travel the hurricane weathered seas to get to Julie. And in the meantime, Will Benson and Ben are killing everybody.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That is pretty much it. Yeah. Jennifer Love Hewitt gets to do some karaoke.
I know. They tried, didn't they? Like, they really tried to show her voice off.
They did. And then she has a song on the closing credits. Which wasn't terrible. I was like very much feeling my like late 90s vibes over that.
But even when she's doing the karaoke in the bar, she's barely hitting the notes, and I'm like, she's just there.
I think that's supposed to be purposeful, though. Okay, I think that's on purpose bad singing. But also, like, you have Brandy right there.
Right?
I was really disgusted that they didn't get up and do, like, a duet of The Boy Is Mine.
They should have.
I know Jennifer Love Hewitt is no Monica, but, like, it would have been fun. Because Mekhi Phifer is in that music video.
Is he?
Yeah, fun fact. Fun tidbit.
I mean, Mekhi Phifer was in a lot of people's music videos.
That's true, yeah. Loves me some Mekhi Phifer. Yeah, no wonder I had a crush on him. Like, they were really pushing him.
It was just, they were like this boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fucking terrible. I'm trying to think what else happens. Yeah, they try to kill her via a tanning boot, like in Final Destination 2. Which is, well, like, the gas lamping in this film is insane. It's just the constant, like, people are like, they're like, no, you're insane. Like, you're just crazy. You're just crazy. Yeah. And, like, the minimizing of her legit trauma. Because, like, the idea that, like, because they know that this terrible thing happened to her. That this guy did legitimately try and kill her and killed all her friends.
Yeah.
And so when she's having, like, and, like, you know what, you can, like, for the sake of argument, let's say it did look like a psychotic break to them. They're like, you're just fucking crazy. Get over it. And you're like, no, help your friend.
That's what I wrote. I was like, was PTSD not a thing back then?
Apparently. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. And they're like, everyone's like, you're very jumpy. And she's like, with the serial murdering. You know, and then eventually, and, like, even when, like, you know, fucking corpses start falling out of cupboards and they're like, but maybe she's still a bit crazy. You're like, come on, man. Like,
I can't discredit this.
Mekhi Phifer has, like, one, his character has one redeeming moment right before he gets killed. And I was like, no, I'm still not sorry. You're still a fucking dick. Like, and then the thing where, oh, you know what really pissed me off? So they get to the island and they've put them in these two rooms, and Brandy has promised that she will stay in the room with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And then they're like, she's like, goes off with Mekhi Phifer, and they're like, no, we want to have the ride. So you just sleep with Benson. Normal human man. You go and stay with a normal human man. And she's like, you get the ride. And she's like, I have a boyfriend. I have a long-term boyfriend. And she's like, yeah, but that guy's hot. Go sleep with him because I want to ride my boyfriend. So I'll see you later. And I was like, that is so awful. Yeah. Like, I was like, you're bad friends. Across the board. Like, just bad friends.
Yeah.
Like, this is a giant empty resort. You will find somewhere to ride.
Right? I'm sure there's more places, bedrooms, maybe not in a public jacuzzi. That was kind of gross.
I know. And then normal human man gets in and is like, I'm here now. Yeah. And Mekhi Phifer is like, please fuck off, I want to have sex with my girlfriend. He's like, yes, normal.
How's it going, lads?
Like, I know, however they wrote that fucking character, he's like an alien in a human suit. It's like Jackie Daytona, real human bartender.
Yeah, I was trying to say, I wrote down, like, is it a study of the effects of PTSD and how people don't understand PTSD unless they have PTSD? Because I was like, there's, like, the opening, one of the opening scenes is her having flashbacks.
Yes.
Which is, like, is a very real thing of PTSD. Like, the paranoia, the flashbacks, it's very, that's what, the form of PTSD. Like, that is how it presents itself. And I'm like, is it trying to be, like, an educational commentary on this, or is it just really that bad?
I think it's just really that bad. I think there's the potential for that film in there, which is very frustrating because that's an interesting way to take on it.
Yeah,
you know, like the idea of, like, PTSD and how difficult it is to relate to it, because like, you know, I've, you know, kind of seen those effects, and you're trying to, like, help someone contextualize, but it's not rational, because it's nothing to do with, like, what's actually happening in the here and now.
Yeah. Like, I have diagnosed CPTSD. And, like, yes, there is the flashbacks. There is the illogical, like, I have mad, like, just mad things that make no sense whatsoever to people that do not understand it. Mm. So, like, I was looking at the character of Judy and I was like, yes, yes, I completely get this. But at the same time, I don't think there was enough self-awareness in this film
remotely. Because even her boyfriend, who was there,
right,
is like, come back to the location of your terrible trauma because I would like you near me. And she's like, he's like, oh, you're trying to get away from me. And she's like, no, I'm trying to get away from the place where I was nearly killed.
Yeah.
And he's like,
Yeah.
And it just, it makes no sense. And he was there. He also experienced this. And yes, trauma affects different people in different ways, but it's just so frustrating. It's maddening.
And then even the end, like, it's kind of assumed that she has gone back to their hometown and now they're living a lovely beige life.
Yes, very unclear, but yes, beige life.
And it's just like...
Hashtag beige dad life.
And I just didn't get it. Like, okay, now we've got Bahamas as a place where she cannot go.
No, she can't, like, go, yeah. But, like, you might be just moved in her brain. Yeah, I think I think what they were trying to do was the idea that she had faced her fears and literally buried them because she pushes Will Benson into the grave.
Yeah.
I think Ben is still AWOL. He ends up under the bed.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of where they were going with that. But obviously it's just a bad film, so it doesn't really make sense. But, like, yeah, I mean, there's like the potential for something kind of good there. And I think, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt is actually, like, I think she's one of the best screams in the game, to be fair. Like, you know, I really like her. So this is another thing that I've been binging recently is, like, you want to talk about, like, an October guilt watch.
Have you been watching Ghost Whisperer?
Yes, I fucking love Ghost Whisperer. It's so terrible, but also I some people will understand this, but, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt is a beautiful, curvy, straight-sized woman. She was basically plus-size representation for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved her.
Mm.
I still do. I still think she's a stunning, beautiful, gorgeous person.
Yeah.
And I like her laugh.
She is in a season of Criminal Minds, and I have to say it's one of my favourite seasons. I absolutely adore her in Criminal Minds.
Yeah, she's legit a great actress. Like, I mean, she's one of these people who, like, you kind of have to find the right role for her, but, like, she is, like, she, you know, she has her moments. Mm. But yes, I've been having a wonderful guilty Ghost Whisperer time. My God, it's bad. I just got past the season where her husband dies, but then goes into the body of another person. Yeah. And so they haven't switched out the actor. Same guy. And he gets amnesia, and he's like, you know, be like, you're looking at women, and their reflections are a different person. Oh, it's so fucking good. I love it so much.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm like, I really want to do a rewatch of, but I'm like...
Oh, you will hate it. You will hate it. You were like, oh, at the last episode of this, you were like, Buffy's really bad now. You think Buffy was bad? This is next level terrible guilty, like, pleasure stuff.
I think about all the TV shows I watched that was on Living TV. Do you remember Living TV on Sky?
I do remember Living TV,
because they'd have, like, Maury Povich during the day, and then at night it would be, like, Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah.
And what was that ghost investigation program with
Ghost Hunters? Was it Ghost Hunters? Yeah,
I think it was Ghost Hunters.
Yeah. I used to, with Yvette Fielding and the Scouser gay boy psychic.
Yeah, what was his name?
Was it Peter or something? Paul something?
Yeah, possibly.
Oh my God, I was obsessed.
Same.
We didn't have like any sort of those channels for years and years and years. But I used to babysit for the people across the road, and that was, like, my big thing. Yeah. It was, like, I got to babysit and I got to watch Ghost Hunters.
There was also a program that I seem to be the only one that remembers, and it was called Miracles, and it features Skeet Ulrich. This was also on Living TV.
Ooh.
And they investigated, like, miracles.
I do not remember this at all, but I want to.
Yeah, I mean, I love Skeet Ulrich, so.
Who doesn't? Jess, anyway, back to this terrible film. No. I derailed that with my Jennifer Love Hewitt standing. But, though, I will say there is one good thing in this film, and it is Jennifer Esposito as Nancy. She's real hot.
Yeah, but utterly, utterly, like, useless. Like, what are you even there for?
I mean, she does also seem like the only sensible one in the entire thing, though, because she locked herself in a fucking meat locker. I was like, I like your style, lady. She's like, I'm not leaving until...
I wonder about their inclusion of the whole voodoo thing, when they were like, we're on the Bahamas.
Oh, well, again, I mean, you know, going back to, we recorded, we were talking about Bahamian voodoo theories for Robert the Doll. And I was like, yeah, this is racist.
Yeah.
I know. And it was that usual, like, you know, switcheroo of, like, actually it's protection voodoo.
Yeah.
Or voodoo or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit ridiculous. And then, when I was watching it.
I do like Bill Cobbs, though.
One thing that kept popping to my head was, like, why? Like, why is Ben still doing this? Why would you bother your hole?
Yeah.
Going all the way to the park? Like, why? Would you bother doing this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the motivations of these people is spurious at best. Like, even like, I get it with Ben in the first one. They're like, these bitches dumped me in the water to die. How very dare they? And I was like, you could have just gone to the cops.
Yeah.
Didn't have to murder them all. Could have just gone to the police.
Yeah. Yeah. Just this, I mean, and it's so funny as well when, like, the whole, like, Scooby-Doo ending when they were like, Rio de Janeiro isn't the capital of Brazil.
Brasilia is.
And I just feel like if that guy who did the protection voodoo had just said to them, Rio de Janeiro isn't the capital of Brazil, they would have gone, oh no. Something's wrong.
Just straight up.
Yeah.
I know. And also, but like Brooks, so the fucking what's his game, Jeffrey Combs character. And like, he seems to kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, there's something weird. And but it's never done. Like, I mean, you don't hire Jeffrey Combs to pay a like guileless.
I know.
Like, manager, like, why would you do that? Like, he's got to be involved somehow. It's like, has he been, like, bribed? Like, you know, what's the story there? Because, like, it doesn't really matter, you know? But, yeah, it's just so... None of it makes sense.
Yeah.
And, like, it's... I feel like most of the cast is better than the material that they've been given as well, like, pretty much across the board.
Yeah, they're really trying to, like, whereas we were saying that Friday the 13th was really trying to cash in on the whole, like... 1980s slasher sequel, this was really trying to cash in on the whole Scream
mid-90s early noughties slasher. I do like the fact that we've got two like very iconic eras of slasher. Did you know there was a direct-to-DVD sequel to this, again a threequel?
I will always know what you did last summer.
I'll always know what you did last summer, which had nothing to do with the original characters because none of the cast came back.
Have enough budget.
No. Also, I think the cast were like, because 7% on Rotten Tomatoes, this film.
And what does I Will Always Know What You Did Last Summer have?
That's a very good question. I imagine it's probably rated. Like minus -5.
It's not even got a rating.
Production, music, critical response. It's got a 0% rating. 0%. I've never seen that before. List of films with 0% rating. Staying Alive. Oh, that's a terrible film. I hate that. It's so bad. Jaws the Revenge, a lot of sequels on this. Police Academy 4, Highlander 2, The Quickening, Return to the Blue Lagoon. What else? Sugar Babies, Baby Geniuses 2, National Lampoon's Gold Digger, The Nutcracker in 3D.
I take it you wouldn't recommend this.
I mean, no, again, it was very boring. I mean, I did spend a lot of it shouting at the screen. I was like, the fucking beige man.
Beige
man. Beige man, do the kill. How are you all this stupid? That was very frustrating because, like, because I just come off reading Final Girl Survival Group as well, where there's a lot of talk about trauma and managing that. And it's really interesting and, like, unreliable narrators and all that stuff. And, like, they had that thing in her apartment at the beginning where, like, it wasn't really focused on, but there was, like, like I said, all the locks, it was, like, bars on the windows. It felt like she was prepared. Yeah. And then she just fucking walks into this thing and everyone's, like, I know there's a lot of gaslamping of her. Mm. Don't send me emails. I do know it's gaslight. it just, like, it goes from a kind of a relatively strong start, I feel, at least thematically, to like just nonsense very quickly, and I find that very frustrating.
I mean I would almost recommend it just for being like, you have to watch this bad movie, like, I feel like it's more, whereas with Friday the 13th I'm like, you don't need to watch it. I'm almost kind of like, I think you do kind of need to watch it just to, you know.
I mean, I don't know, I don't think it's quite bad enough to be able to get that much enjoyment out of watching it. Like, I wouldn't go back to it, certainly. Like, I didn't, I think I enjoy the process of watching this more than Friday the 13th. It's not something I would like go back to for funsies. It's not that bad, you know. It's not fun bad, it's just bad.
Just bad. So I guess difficult question, out of the two of them, which one would you...
Oh god, out of the two of them?
Yeah.
If I go into my head, I think it will be I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, I'd be the same.
But like, oof, maybe Shoot Me.
I think I'd just take the bullet.
I think I'd just take the bullet over these.
I think I would do the same. Whereas, like, if I had to watch it again, I would.
Mm.
Whereas with the second Friday, I'd be like, no.
Oh, yeah. No, I just, like, I mean, like, I know I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I only find it quite shocking how we ended up with this like iconic slasher character out of that.
Yeah.
Because like you get it with Halloween, you get it with Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't get it with Jason. I don't know. He could like so yeah. interchangeable.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Freddy versus Jason.
I was gonna say he has been in a lot of like
silly.
Yeah.
But it's just one franchise that I haven't like I went through a stage of just watching all the Halloweens and watching like all the Nightmare on Elm Street, but I haven't gone through the Friday the 13th, and I don't have a will to.
No, I don't think I do either. Like, I'd imagine some of them are quite silly, particularly when you get into, like, Jason in space and stuff.
Yeah. Jason goes to hell and yeah. Jason goes to Manhattan. Jason went a lot of places. He's a well-traveled soul.
Jason in the hood too, now with extra leprechaun. Fucking watch that movie. I would rather watch the leprechaun movies than watch that movie again.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm now going to like base this on every time. It's like, would I rather watch a Leprechaun movie or this movie?
That's your standard.
That's going to be my lowest bar.
So yeah, any other summer sequels you can think of? I can't.
I can't think of any other summer sequels. There's well, got to be a few. Sleepaway Camp 2. More bees. Mm.
Could we put the second Fear Street in this? Because it's a sequel.
I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was my favourite of the trilogy.
See, any of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequels?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just Googling. They've put sequel to Cruel Summer. Or sequel, Cruel Too Much 2. they put The Conjuring, The Devil Maybe Do It in here. Google, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I know. What are the best summer horror movies? And then, like, which have... I mean, because, like, a lot of them have sequels, like Jaws.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
this Hills of Eyes is on this list, and that has a sequel. Okay, sorry. This is still from the end of the first Friday the 13th, and Jason just looks so stupid and unscary. Look at his little head. Yeah, hi. Oh, yeah. Can I get in your boat? Can I have a go? Bless him.
Yeah, I guess summer sequels isn't really a...
It's more just like, what are your like horror blockbusters?
Yeah.
And like, have they gotten sequels?
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's our summer of sequels.
Summer of sequels indeed. Hashtag yeah. Dead Girl Summer. Tell us what you think.
That's what you think of these awful films. Yeah, don't forget you can follow us on Twitter @what_scream or on Instagram @whatascream. And Ruby, you can find @TheRubyNoir
wherever you are bothered to look.
Wherever you can be arsed. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And go also listen to Movies, Murder, and Mayhem.
Yeah.
Where we talk about Robert the Doll and Ivan Milat. Talking about summer, actually. Yeah. There was a Wolf Creek 2.
There was a Wolf Creek 2.
Yeah.
Was that any good?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Story checks out.
Yeah. Go check that out. And as always, stay horrific. Goodbye.